The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 9th through Sunday, December 15th, 2024. The commentary for December was written by Dion K. Johnson, the first openly gay, first black, and first immigrant bishop to lead the Diocese of Missouri. Born and raised on the island of Barbados, he and his family now live in Webster Groves, Missouri. He enjoys cooking, photography, hiking, and being an armchair movie critic. The commentary for Monday, December 9th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 28. "Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Here's the commentary. There's a parable about a rabbi asking his students how they can tell a new day has dawned upon the earth. One crafty student offered, "When there is enough light to see the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree." It was a good answer, but not the right answer. Another student said, "When you can look down the road and tell whether or not the animal up ahead is a fox or a dog." Again, this was a good answer, but not the right answer. The rabbi looked at his students and said, "It's a new day when there is enough light that allows you to see the face of another human being. And looking upon that face, you see your brother or sister. Until that happens, it is still night." We sit with the prophets and poets, with sages and soothsayers, waiting expectantly for glimmers of a new dawn. But for a new dawn to break, we must be willing to seek and show the one whose coming we look for, long for, and ultimately live for. For a new dawn to break, we must learn to heal like Jesus and lean into compassion, hope, courage, and boldness. A new dawn is breaking. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Luke 21, verses 20 through 28. "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those inside the city must leave it, and those out in the country must not enter it. For these are days of vengeance, as a fulfillment of all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken away as captives among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 9th, is your heart ready for the light of a new day? The commentary for Tuesday, December 10th, begins with a short passage from Luke 21, verse 34b, The Worries of This Life. There is so much for us to worry about. Destruction, despair, and desolation caused by war, famine, and human greed. We live with political division and desperation in our communities. We have every right to be alarmed and afraid. But God calls us, even in the midst of things passing away, to hold tightly to hope. There is a fun story of an overly optimistic boy who wakes up on his birthday to find a pile of manure outside his bedroom window. He runs downstairs with a smile on his face, grabs a shovel, and starts whistling and digging. One of his friends asks, "What are you doing?" The boy looks up and says, "I'm sure there's a pony in here somewhere." Well, sometimes underneath the manure is more manure, and sometimes there is a pony. But Jesus' incarnation reminds us not to worry. There will always be wars and rumors of wars and tremors that will shake the foundations of the world and our faith in humanity. There will be death and disaster and all manner of things in this life to rattle our souls. But in Jesus, there will always be hope, no matter how faint or fleeting. And now I'm going to read the full passage from today's Gospel, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 29 through 38. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Every day he was teaching in the temple, and at night he would go out and spend the night on Mount of Olives, as it was called. And all the people would get up early in the morning to listen to him in the temple. And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday is very simply, read and pray on this passage from Luke. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, December 11th. It begins with a passage from John 8, verse 11b. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." In the Bibemba tribe in South Africa, when a person acts unjustly or commits an offense, the entire village gathers. The people of the village form a large circle where the accused person stands unfettered. Then each person of the tribe shares with the accused, one at a time, the good things that person has done. They bombard the accused person with their good deeds, kind words, and compassionate actions. They praise the accused's strengths, good attributes, and kindnesses. This can go on for days until everyone in the village has had a chance to offer a word. At the end, the circle is broken, and the accused person is welcomed back into the community, and they celebrate. Imagine how different our communities of faith would be if we practiced circles of caring. Imagine how different our world would be if we followed the example of the Bibemba. I imagine the beloved community of Christ being built on circles of compassion, with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, leading us along the way. And now I'm going to read the full passage from John chapter 7, verse 53 through chapter 8, verse 11. Then each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and making her stand before all of them. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." And the moving forward suggestion for this day is follow the example of the Bebemba the next time someone has wronged you. The commentary for Thursday, December 12th, begins with a passage from Luke 22, verse 8b. "Go and prepare." Here's the commentary. Prepare. Life is short. Life is short. Tell those you love how much they mean. Life is short. Be generous in forgiving and letting go. Life is short. Sing with a heart full of joy, even if you sing off key. Life is short. Live a life of deep gratitude. Life is short. Eat dessert first. Read a good book. Let go of things that don't matter, including past slights and hurts. Life is short. Go to church. Say your prayers. Fall in love with Jesus again and again. Life is short. Wake up. Stay alert. Be prepared. Light the lamps. Get ready. Listen for the knock. Answer the call. Serve where you are sent. Life is short. Dream. But don't just dream. Follow your dreams. Life is short. Make a list and then check things off. Life is short. Dance. Life is short. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Life is short. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how are you preparing for the coming of Christ? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, December 13th. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 22, verse 27c. "But I am among you as one who serves." A few years ago, the parish I served started a monthly community dinner. We planned for months on how to be hospitable and offer a Christ-centered welcome to our guests. We thought of dietary needs, greeters, and even how we would hand out to-go boxes. As our first year progressed, we decided to make the last dinner before Advent special. We brought out the tablecloths, the good plates, and the silverware. We even decorated the tables. As dinner was winding down, one of the first-time guests stopped me and said, "Thank you so much for this. This is the first meal I have had since I lost my home, where I didn't feel disposable." He had been accustomed to meals at other churches and community centers where everything was served on disposable plates for ease and convenience. We stumbled upon the gift of dignity and offering our best to Christ in disguise. In this season, perhaps we would do well to plan for Jesus to show up at our door in the guise of the other. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke 22, verses 14 through 30. "When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.' Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the moving forward question for this day is, are you involved in a ministry to those in need? Do you opt for convenience or hospitality? Now we turn to the commentary for Saturday, December 14th, the day on which we celebrate John of the Cross. It begins with a passage from Luke 22, verse 38b. He replied, "It is enough." An old Kenyan proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. There is sage wisdom in those words. We sometimes forget that we are made to go far together. We can easily succumb to the myth that we are self-made and self-reliant. Our society seems to glorify the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps attitude, but we know in truth that we are all supported and encouraged by others along the way. We who follow Jesus find deep connectivity in walking together, even though it can sometimes be messy or difficult. As Christians, we take comfort in knowing that God is with us through every trial and triumph. Advent is a good reminder that God is revealed in the fellowship of broken people we call the church, made manifest in the ordinary elements of bread and wine, and available to us in the seemingly small gestures of mercy we offer and are offered each and every day. It may not be where we expect God to show up, but it is just where we need God to be. Together in the presence of God and each other, we will go far. And now I'm going to read from today's gospel, from Luke 22, verses 31 through 38. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. He said to them, when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, no, not a thing. He said to them, but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled. They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, it is enough. And the moving forward question for this day relates to the commentary, how do you normally travel, fast or far? And now as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, December 15th, the third Sunday of Advent. It begins with a passage from the Old Testament, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. Listen. Can you hear it? Do you feel it? Do you perceive it? The world is shifting, moving, and changing right beneath our feet. God's dream is breaking, birthing, beginning anew right before our eyes. Look around you. Look within you. The old way, the old you, the old things that have been divided and destroyed are falling away. In this era of oppression and animosity, God dreams. God dreams of a time when all God's children are seen, heard, and loved equally. God dreams of a time when divisions of race, class, and culture fall away, and all of God's children are simply beloved children of God. God invites us into that dream and to imagine a different world. We are all called for this time to be co-dreamers with God, to follow Jesus in building a more just society. Advent is about joining God in dreaming. We must ask ourselves, are we willing to stand up for God's dream? Are we willing to be prophets and preachers for God's dream? Are we willing to come out and step out for God's dream? Dream and then dare to do. And I'm going to read this full passage from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord is your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, are you willing to stand up for God's dream? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Dr. Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.